Are you hungry for more? You know what life has to offer. You sense it is radiating magic, but perhaps you feel like you're just not fully nourished by all there is to embody. Welp, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Here and now. Just what the doctor ordered. Welcome to the conversation, Well and Why, where we feast on fuel for the soul. These topics are designed to ignite that fire and maximize our human potential. Together, we can heal the system. Alone, we can heal our bloodline. Bon appetit! Welcome back to Well and Why, a spiritually nutritious production. I'm your host, Allie, and this week's episode is with Eric Len. He is an incredible dancer, and I know him from college via my college roommate who was also a dancer. We've been friends since my freshman year, and I've just always loved this guy. He is funny, real, raw, honest, and just was such a good time to have a conversation with and record it and share it with you guys. I think he has a lot to say and really awesome perspectives on himself and how somebody who succeeds in their unique journey, how we would all benefit from believing in ourselves as much as Eric believes in himself. And I love that so much. So I'm excited to share that perspective with you. And I really hope it resonates and that you can just take that and roll with it and own it. Because one of the best parts about talking to people that I learned when I was traveling the world back in 2016, I was in Sri Lanka. It was one of the most beautiful days ever in Trincomalee. In the water, I basically spent all day in this super calm water in the ocean, and I was talking to this new friend, and we were talking about previous relationships and worldly insights and just so many different things. But one of my takeaways of a conversation with this guy was that after a breakup, he wasn't really sure what he could take as his own and what was information inside himself that this woman brought into his life that maybe wasn't his to hold on to. And I thought, who the fuck cares whose it was originally? If you like that and you want to take it on as your own, yeah, you can give her credit for it if you want, if that feels right for you, but just feel it, own it. That's you now. If you like it, it's yours. Have it. Nobody owns the music that they like, the style of fashion that they like and that they wear, or anything of the sorts. So I think Eric does a really great job and has really brought it into me of just saying, I know that I'm capable of this, so I'm gonna pursue it. And here I am, pursuing it. Because I am capable. I think we should all wake up, roll out of bed, and just say that 10 times. It's a strange idea, but maybe it'll work. Try it. Let me know. Let me know if that works for you. You can find me on Instagram at spirituallynutritious, or you can email me wellandy@gmail.com. That's Well, A-N-D-Y, not like the, oh man, someone just taught me the word for it today, and nope, gonna have to look that one up, the symbol of the and sign, which is in the middle of Well and Why of this podcast title, but, and Gettys, no, just kidding, those are just those really cute old pictures that we used to have of random babies. My sister and I loved those. Why did we love those? They were so cute. I guess because they were like little babies with a flower head or something. I don't know. I'm rambling. I'm really excited to share this conversation, and I hope you enjoy. Eric, thank you so much for being here today with me on Well and Why.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Allie.
So you and I went to college together, And we lived in the same building my freshman year.
Oh my God, yes.
I know, crazy, Paca. But I only know you because of my roommate Melissa that you danced with in college. And you're still dancing. And I loved going to all the shows and when I could, and watching you was so much fun because you are so majestic.
Thank you. Wow.
Since it's currently February, as this is being recorded, what is your biggest takeaway from 2018?
Oh, gosh. Do you mean in my life or, like, in my career? Like, my personal life or my career?
It could be either. Just, like, the biggest takeaway that you feel like, wow, 2018 really taught me this.
That's hard because there's so many, and I wasn't expecting this question, so you're putting me on the spot. But I don't know. I feel like I was injured a lot this past year, so I feel like this past year has taught me to really appreciate every moment that I can dance, and to train wiser and really warm up my body and not do something stupid to hurt myself as a setback. And also, karma's a bitch. Like, I'm really careful of the things that I've been saying. I'm really trying not to say I'm sorry so much. I've cut back a lot. Like, even when someone bumps you, like, on the train or something, I'll be like, oh, sorry. Even if it's not my fault. And I'm like, I have to stop saying this in everyday life.
Yeah.
Yeah. What has it taught you?
Isolation. And isolation. Yeah, I actually talked about this in a previous episode because every year, people are going to get sick of me talking about this, but every year I choose a different word since 2015, which has become a really popular thing now because it can be really overwhelming to come up with a whole list of resolutions and stick to them. So 2018, my word was connection. And I was just like trying to connect with other people and myself on a deeper level. And I realized at the end of the year that I had felt completely isolated and I'd accidentally put myself in this lifestyle of isolation. And just, it was cool to, I really got to know the word connection on a really deep level because I understood isolation.
Did you do it on purpose or it was subconsciously isolating everyone?
Yeah, I subconsciously accidentally isolated myself because I drive to work. I live and work in Brooklyn, so I drive just because it's easiest. So that's like automatically taking away just eye contact and social connection on the trains. And I
mean, some would call you very blessed.
Of course. Yes. And I would call myself that too. I love that
time. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that
time. You're in a metal box by yourself.
Totally. And I mean, I listen to the radio and Z100 makes me crack up. They make me cry. They make everything. Like, they're just great. So, like, shout out to Z100. huge inspiration of mine, actually. And I love to sing. So I can just, like, belt and not give a fuck. So that's
some nice people too. Do that on the train too.
Yeah, I don't have the balls for that.
Yeah,
no. But and I just realized, wow, I just really, whenever I do get on the train and I get to just, I enjoy it. I actually enjoy, I mean, yeah, rush hour sucks, but just to be able to get on the train and just look at people, not even talk to them, but every now and then someone will talk to you. And yeah, and I mean, I have a job where I talk to people all day, but it's not just like random human interaction, you know? Mm-hmm. And then my apartment, I ended up moving into this amazing apartment in an old war, pre-war building with two really great girls that I found on Craigslist, but we weren't like friends. And so it was like starting fresh again. And my job, I manage a building for a co-working space. So my coworkers are in other buildings. So my like work friends are sometimes my tenants, which is, you know, sometimes a little confusing with where to put that boundary.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I love all of those pieces of my life and I'm grateful for all of them so much. But podcasting was something that I had to like initiate into my life to find a way to have these deep conversations that I wasn't having with people in the first place. But I knew I could, and I have in the past. My old apartment was great. I had three roommates, and one of them was foreign, and he would have like all these visitors come all the time. So I got to have these really awesome connections and conversations with foreigners that I used to have when I was traveling the world, and they go deep, you know, like a lot of Americans, I don't know, I don't want to talk for all of us, but we don't go as deep as easily, you know, like
surface conversation.
Exactly. And for some reason, people from other countries can just go there. And I don't know what it is, but I got a lot of that in my old apartment, which I wasn't getting here.
So your newer apartment, you say you isolated yourself. Did you, since you didn't really know them, would you kind of just like come home, shower, go to your room, kind of just like...
Yeah, that's kind of the vibes of the apartment. But also, I mean, I planned on starting this podcast before I moved here. And then I moved here October 1st, and I had signed up for this course mid-October because I was trying to like do a little bit of research, but mid-October, this course landed in my lap called Let a Podcast Out by Katie Dalebout, and it was to start a podcast. So that started at the end of October. So I only had a month here of really just like settling in, you know, getting to know the area a little bit, feeling comfortable in my neighborhood, and moving in essentially. And October was pretty busy, so it really wasn't a lot of time. But then when I was learning about podcasting, it was like I was just so excited, and I was coming home from work, and that's what I was doing. I was just like studying, basically.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Go girl.
Oh, thank you. But right now I see you're drinking something. What is that?
Yes, that is my after workout post drink, some protein. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. What does it entail?
It is some mangoes. This one does not have bananas. Mango, pineapple, orange juice, whey protein.
Oh.
A little sweeter. It's very sweet. Yeah. But I found that if you take vanilla or like French vanilla protein and add it with orange juice, it's like creamsicle.
Whoa.
Get into it.
That's amazing. Okay. So your biggest takeaway from 2018 was injuries and being wise with your movements and warming up. So that's
taking care of myself.
Yeah. And karma.
Yeah.
So cool. That's so interesting that you're connecting the words that come out of your mouth to the injuries that affect
yes,
you.
I definitely think that if you speak hatred and say negative words, that your life is going to be pretty negative.
Yeah, and it affects your body because you're holding it in different spots, probably.
Really quick, off on topic, but side note, I saw this video of this class, like of kids, and they took two plastic bags and put a piece of bread in each bag, zipped it up. Have you seen this? You know what I'm talking about?
Something like this, I think.
Yeah, and they've done it with like flowers too, and like other things. And like the bread, this one bag, they said, I love you, bread, every day. And this one, they said, I hate you. And in a week, this one was rotten, and this one was not so bad, like the one that they sent love to.
Right.
And that's just like, that's all the evidence you need that your words matter.
Yes.
So I really try to, sometimes I slip, but you know, I try to catch myself.
Amazing. I mean, you're only human. We did an experiment like that, similar to a romaine lettuce head in Hawaii during yoga teacher training. My friend taught me that at the end of your romaine, you could put that little head back into water just on the windowsill, and you could grow your own romaine just with water and sunlight.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, nice.
Amazing, right? And I don't think we had one that we didn't talk to, but she was just really cute about it and was like, all right, guys, everyone tell lettuce that you love it every day before you leave for class. So I find myself just being like, I love you, lettuce. And like no one's around when I'm talking to the lettuce.
Did you get to see it grow, or you left before?
Yeah, it was growing.
Was there another one that you said negative stuff to?
I don't think we did that, no.
Okay.
Yeah. We didn't want to hate
you on
this.
You should have.
I know.
Yeah. Because you were like, you need that.
Yeah. these girls are broke and hungry. Just kidding. All right. Awesome. So I would love for you to introduce yourself a little bit. What is a day in the life of Eric?
Oh, my gosh. Well, My daily activity changes all the time. For instance, this week, I teach at studios right now. So the studios go on the schedule of the school districts, and they have some stupid February winter break thing. So I have no work this week. So this week is very weird for me. Yeah, so it's just like training, physical therapy, class, gym, alternating, taking class and going to the gym. I'll go online. I'll email studios to try to get some work. I will go online to look at auditions, send emails. I try my best to cook at home at least 2 meals a day because it's so expensive here in New York. But normally I'll go around 2 or 3, head out to the train stop, take either Long Island Railroad or the Metro North, and go teach for like 4 hours and then come back.
Cool.
And I should also mention that me and my boyfriend, we both own a dog together. So the dog is here, who you know, Kingston. He is with me sometimes. Like, he was just with me for a month. So I have to, like, coordinate my day around him as well, like taking him out or scheduling someone to come walk him. So that's also really hard.
Right. Do you still use that platform? I guess you guys had an app last time and you had your key.
Oh, Bag?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. But it's kind of sketchy sometimes. I don't know. You don't know who's coming in. And,
yeah, true.
But you could request, like, the same person if you like the notes they leave and everything. I don't know, but it's still weird. Like, someone's in your house and they take your dog. You could follow them on a map. You know?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, strange.
Yeah. But we do what we have to do.
Yeah. What kind of classes do you take?
I usually take either, like, strict ballet classes, or I'll take maybe a hip-hop class or a contemporary jazz class or something. Switch it up a little.
Yeah. You find that important that you try all different kinds of things?
Yes. I think I always feel like there's something I need to improve in ballet. So that's why I feel like I'm in ballet more. But yeah, I do like to switch it up. Also, I'll go into, do you know Chelsea Piers?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where that is? Like, on the west side? And I'll go take gymnastics there.
Cool. That's fine.
So that's a good another type of cross training I do. Tumbling stuff.
Okay, nice.
I'll have to bring you. It's open classes, all different levels.
Oh my gosh. Tumbling.
It's really hard.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That would be cool. I love playing and trying new things, but
yeah.
Tumbling.
Or we go
just
like ice skating
scary.
Or something. They have everything there. Rock climbing, there's everything. Bowling.
Let's go rock climbing.
Okay.
Can we?
Yeah.
Yes, making plans.
Like I said, I don't work this week, so
oh well this week. I actually was like daydreaming today about, I can't even imagine if my job gifted us like a week off one day. I'm like, I don't even know, you know, that'd be
it's
so much
not
time.
Good. Let me tell you. No, because I have to like watch everything I spend.
Oh yeah. Spending money. Yeah. I have to do that anyway. Okay, cool. So what was life like for you as a kid? If you were to sum it all up into a brief summary.
Oh my God.
Where did you grow up? Do you have siblings? When did you start dancing?
Yes. I grew up on Long Island, New York, Suffolk County, hour and 15 minutes on the Long Island Railroad. I played soccer all the time, school soccer and a travel team. So every weekend I was going somewhere. I was a very late bloomer in my dance career. I started taking hip hop classes at like 13, 14. And then I didn't start ballet till 18, which is super duper late. So I started soccer when I was 3, when other people started ballet at 3. I'm one of 5 kids. I'm the youngest. But 2 of them are half siblings. So we were never really in the house together. So I grew up with only 2 siblings. So my childhood was a lot of crazy running around, sports. I did play soccer, but I also, you know, dabbled in every other sport, like tennis, lacrosse, I don't want to say baseball because I did it for one day. Basketball. And yeah.
Cool.
It was a lot of sports.
So do you think you were able to go into ballet at 18 because you're a male and it's a very female dominated industry?
Yes, I think that definitely helped. I was I don't know. I feel like I kind of knew how to control my body a little bit, so I was a quick learner. Also, when I would audition for summer intensives, they would always see a boy and they were like, let's try to push him. So I would get a lot of scholarships, even though like there's thousands of girls who were way better than me. It was just for the fact of being a boy. Mm-hmm. So it definitely helped in my favor.
Yeah, I bet. Sure. That's amazing. Cool. And so you went to college for dance.
Yes.
Did you have another degree?
Kinda. So I started, Allie and I both went to Towson University. And Towson has a really great dance program, but they also have a K-12 certification, which a lot of schools don't have, which is something that drew my eye to Towson. So I started in the K-12 certification program, but then I was like, wait, I don't really want to, if I want to teach, I was going to teach college level dancers, not K-12. So I dropped it. Then I was like, I could really use a business degree. I don't know if I've ever told you this. I could use a business minor. So I did that for like a second, like 1 second. And then I did, I finally declared as a health science minor. And senior year, I had like 4 more classes to go and I dropped out of it. It's funny, but it's really not funny. Because it was a waste of money, but I was like, I don't know. I just came to this realization, like, what the hell am I going to do with a health science minor? You tell me one job. I can't.
I mean, I guess it's a good thing to have. But also, at least you still have the knowledge of everything that you'd studied.
And if I really wanted to, I could do the 4 more classes online. But it's like, I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? So that was something I learned.
You're so funny. So why do you think it's good. Like, you knew what you want. It sounds like you start things and you're like, nah, definitely not.
Yeah, but at the expense of paying money for expensive books and stuff.
Right. But sometimes you have to invest in something to,
yeah, I had
to know that you don't want it.
But I'm glad that I quit the K-12 in the beginning as opposed to senior year, because I would have been pissed if I did that for so long and was like, realized it then. I realized it when I did, but whatever.
That's great. So what was it like being one of the only guys growing up in dance in an industry full of ladies?
Growing up or like after college?
I mean, everything from girls to ladies to women. I mean, it's dominated by, you know, females. So what's it like for you?
Growing up, like, I didn't realize that there were a lot of men in the dance world at all. Really until shows came out, like So You Think You Can Dance and like America's Best Dance Crew. And I don't know what were some of, I think So You Think was one of the first. But now that I'm in it, it's a very small community. Like, I'll work with a handful of guys on a project and there's a very great chance that I'll see them next week at an audition or within a year, or I'll be working with them in the future. But yeah, growing up, I didn't know at all. I didn't know anything.
That's so cool. I love that you run into them again and again. That's really neat.
Yeah.
And is it like exciting? You're like, hey, what's up?
Oh yeah. It's great to work with someone you already worked with.
Yeah.
Because I consider, like, some of my colleagues, my friends, like, for sure. Like, when you go on tour and you do a job with a certain group of people for X amount of months, you know, you guys form a really close bond. So it's always great to see them again.
Aww.
The guys and the girls,
for sure. Yeah, that's so nice. All right, so this one's deep. Are you ready for
it? Oh, God.
What is your why?
Oh, shit. My why. When you say why, I'm trying to think, like, why do I do it?
Yeah, that it could be that. I mean, it's a big thing these days to try to figure out what your why is. Like, why do you do all the things that you do that you love? Because there has to be pretty much like a reason in order to, you know, because life gets hard. Things get tough. Like, something has to motivate you through the hard times and those difficulties to wake up and say, I'm going to keep going.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I would say that my why is because I know that I can. Ooh. And I know that it's in me that I could do the things that I think I can do. And so more so to prove to myself that I could accomplish getting to this level in my career, whatever I see that level to be, as opposed to proving to those haters over there that I could do better. Because I've definitely been laughed at, and I'm just like, I'm going to prove to you, but mainly I'm going to prove to me that I'm going to go to this level that you didn't even know existed. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then in the general aspect of the dance career, I know that I would be doing stuff like this even if I didn't have to worry about money. So I knew that that was like my path.
Wow, yeah. Definitely makes sense. Because they always say, like, what would you do if money wasn't a thing? And my whole life, I'm like, I would travel and volunteer.
So it's like you have to make that, somehow find that lane where you could make money doing that.
100%.
And that's why I like choreographing, because studios pay me to choreograph, and it's something I do listening to music on the subway. So it's like, I'm going to be doing this even if they didn't pay me, so I might as well benefit.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
I always loved in college when Melissa had to put together a dance routine and she would be in our room because we shared a room for a couple years. And
those were the worst.
Oh, my gosh. They were so good, though. And she would, like, be running around practicing, and then she would do it for us. And I'm like, oh, good job.
No, like, it's fun. Like, they're fun assignments, but they're a bitch. Like, they would be like, all right, you have to. They would give us rules that we would have to choreograph, like, shapes or, like, mirroring each other, or, like, we have to use depth, like, depth perspection. It was hard. Those classes were hard.
Yeah, but I bet you learned so much just in... Do you take those lessons with you now when you're choreographing?
I don't know. It's weird because, like, I found that the money is where, like, competition studios want the choreography, which is way different than concert choreography. So the classes we took in college don't relate to that, but we took a really cool class called Dance for the Camera, where we are partnered with photography majors. One dancer, one photography major. So that was really cool to get, like, from a director's point of view of angles to shoot and stuff.
Yeah, I remember that, actually.
But I know Melissa struggles, like, those classes.
Mm. Yeah. Cool. So how many hours, on a normal average week, how many hours per week do you put towards practicing your art?
Well, if I go to a class, it would be a 90-minute class, usually. Per week, you said?
Yeah.
Maybe like 10 to 12?
10 to 12 hours per week?
I guess. Wow.
That's intense.
Including like all the time. Like tonight I'm going to stretch later. I'm going to roll out. So including like times like that, probably about that much.
Cool. All right. How would you explain what it feels like to be a dancer using your body as an artistic movement? Do you always feel the energy of the song or your emotions running through you while you perform? Does it always happen in practice too?
That's so cute. in practice.
Or you're just like going through the movements?
It really depends. Like when I worked for a job that I'm not going to name, when I would get up and do my solo, I did not like it. So I would put something in my mind before I went on stage, but I was not enjoying the movement at all. Like, it was not fun. But and then there's other times where it's like, this feels really good and I'm in the moment, I'm living. So that's, I think it varies.
Right.
That's my answer. It varies every single time, especially if it's someone else's choreography versus if I'm performing my own choreography.
That makes sense. So my question for you in regards to that job that you didn't really like, was it because of the people behind the choreography or something?
Yeah, no, it wasn't the choreographer. I just didn't like the... Personally, I like the choreographer as a person. I just didn't like the movement I was doing.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Okay, cool. So who or what has been your biggest source of inspiration?
That's a hard one as well. I don't have any... I don't want to say one particular person, but I will say some of the legend... male dancers in the industry. Yeah.
Can you list them?
Yeah. One of my big ones is Desmond Richardson. He's one of the directors of Complexions. I've always looked up to him. He's a beautiful dancer, but he's also very long. So I could relate to that because I'm very tall, as you know. But yeah, so it's more like we have a something in common. So I like always looked up to him as a male icon, I guess.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool how we sometimes, if you really dig into why you are inspired by someone or something, it's because you relate to it and you see yourself in that and you know you can become that. And it's just, there's a journey to get there.
Totally. Yes.
So what would you say is the main factor for your self-motivation?
I think it goes back to what you asked me about why. Mm. It's because I believe in myself, as corny as that sounds. Like, I think I can do it, and I've seen myself grow. It's hard to, like, look at your growth daily, but when you look back at videos of me dancing from a year ago on my phone versus 2 years ago versus 3 years ago, it's like dramatically different. And it's like, I'm embarrassed of videos that I used to once be proud of because it's like so much has changed since then. So I feel like that's my motivation every day, is just to be better than the day before, even in a small way, and prove to myself that I can do it.
I love that.
You can do it.
I was actually just going to ask you if you had some kind of like motto for yourself, and then you came out with that. It's like you wake up in the morning and say,
you can do it, Eric. No, I don't have mottos, but I have I have that like workout playlist that gets you hype. I like that. I have like certain songs that get me like beast mode, you know?
What kind of genre?
Usually always hip hop, like really nasty songs, and like sometimes like some house music or
boom,
rap.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Or rap. Nice.
Yeah, sometimes.
All right. So, we pretty much went over this, but maybe there's something that you missed. But do you have some kind of wellness routine?
Yes. I definitely take care of my body I don't go to acupuncturist as much, but I do go to a chiropractor once every week on Fridays. I will roll out using a foam roller or a tennis ball, or what do I have, softball. I do that like religiously every day. What else do I do? I definitely try my best to eat healthy. I have celiac, so I'm gluten-free, so I have to be on top of that always. I should be better about getting enough sleep, but I need to, yeah, that's huge. I use a lot of, this past year I've gotten into essential oils, and I have a diffuser, and I really am enjoying the benefits of them.
Nice. What are your favorites?
I've been using doTERRA some, and then some I got from like Whole Foods. I love frankincense, peppermint, lemon, and yeah, those I think are my favorite ones. Are you a big believer in?
I believe it for sure, but I'm just like lavender everything.
Yes, lavender. Yes.
I don't really change it up. I have this little lavender roll-on stick, mm-hmm. and I have one in my bag, one by my bed, one at my desk, one at my work yeah. desk. I have them everywhere just so I could roll it on when I'm feeling like every now and then anxiety will like take hold of my breathing. And mm-hmm. obviously there are breathing exercises, which is great, but this is also just something that yeah. really helps as well.
For sure.
But yeah, I believe it. I'm just not really into too many I don't do it religiously or anything besides my lavender. I just put it on every night before bed, before I journal.
Yeah.
And it just puts me in this like nice place.
Yeah. I don't know exactly. I don't know too much about it, but I do know that some of them are super diluted with water. So be careful on the ones that you buy, because if they're super cheap, they're probably not strong.
Mm-hmm.
Little tip.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But I mean, how strong do you really need it, as long as it, you know, kind of does its job, I feel?
Well, it depends, because like I know like doTERRA, do you know that brand?
Yes.
Theirs are like, I don't know, 100% organic or whatever it claims it is. But some of them you can ingest. So if you're having like stomach problems, you take like a drop of the peppermint one or whatever. And like other ones are like non-edible.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just never know what's in them from weird companies trying to make money.
Definitely. That can be pretty scary.
Yeah.
So I think I know your answer to this. You might have just said it, but is there a daily or weekly habit that you have that is a non-negotiable in your lifestyle?
Ooh. Yeah, I think it would be rolling out. Even if it's at night, like right before bed, I feel like it helps me sleep better. If I do it first thing in the morning, you know, I just feel like kind of motivated and ready for the day, because I just feel like everything's loosened up. I could stand straight. And especially since I've been kind of injured, I feel like a lot of the muscles around my injuries are getting tense. So that's my one thing that it's like, it has to happen.
I love it. I have one too. And I actually just did it before our call, but I don't know. I just don't know why I don't do it every morning and every night. You know, it's like one of those things that I know I should be doing. Like you said, with sleep, like sleep is imperative for your wellness, you know, and just your energy levels. But I agree. Like, I just feel so much better, and it cracks my back every time. I don't do my whole body, but I just get my upper back, and I'm like,
yeah. Is yours like pretty firm, or it's one of the softer ones?
I would say it's on the softer side.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, but as you like get more comfortable with it, you'll find that certain what's the word I'm looking for?
Like densities?
Yes. Yeah. Will affect different muscles better.
Oh, interesting. I have a really strong, it's like, it's not a foam roller, but it's really hard, and it's the same shape, because have you ever heard of an Indo board?
Mm-mm.
It's
a balance board?
Yeah, it's a balance board, pretty much. It's like you're surfing on a little cylinder. Yeah, I have one of those.
And that cylinder used.
Exactly. So every now and then
all you need.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is it you do that helps you through current challenges that you didn't have in your toolbox 5 years ago?
Whoa. These are good questions. I would have to say my boyfriend, Frank. I didn't. Yes, I always go to him whenever I have problems.
Aww.
And I've had him for 5 years now.
That's amazing. Shout out to Frank.
Shout out Frank. Hey, what's up? Not even him. It's like all my friends that I didn't have 5 years ago, like here in the city, for sure.
I love that.
Yeah.
So your friendships are a big foundation of your well-being.
I wouldn't say one of the biggest. I would say more so my family. But yeah, you wanna have friends to talk to when you can't talk to your loved one and you can't talk to your family about certain things. Mm. For sure. And also, my disclosure, my boyfriend is not a dancer. So any dance problem, I can't talk to him about. Not, I mean, I could, but I just rather talk to someone who could relate on that level.
Mm.
Yeah, no shade.
Well, that's cool. And that's also interesting and fascinating because I feel like we, or me, I don't know, I'm going to speak for myself here. I put a lot of like importance on that person for me being able to be that person for everything. And that's just not going to be the case.
Yeah.
You know, like that person can't be there for every aspect of everything that you need from a person. So that's why we have so many different people in our lives. And that's why you have to rely on different people for different things.
Definitely.
So that's awesome. Aw, tell Frank I say hi.
I will.
Okay, so what do you think is the secret trick to building and maintaining enough energy to be productive to do all the things that you do?
Definitely sleep. And number two would be make sure that you eat enough. There's this weird mystery theory that dancers don't eat, or like ballerinas will starve themselves, but it's like I know some ballerinas who eat like a fat pig. But you have to eat because you need the carbs and you need the calories so you have energy to burn. Mm. You just have to. Not saying eat a bunch of fried food, but it's like you have to eat.
Right.
Yeah. So I definitely make sure that I have a healthy, balanced diet.
Nice. All right. Are you a morning person or an evening person or just whatever you got to be kind of person?
I'm definitely an evening person. I'm a night owl. But I will be where I need to be if I have to be there.
Yeah, right. That's good.
Are you a night owl?
I usually am, and I have been in the past. Yeah, in college, I would stay up so late doing things, and I would sleep in. I made sure all of my classes were, like, 11 o'clock or later, as if I could.
Lucky, yeah.
Yeah, if I could. Every now and then, I had a semester where I had, like, 2 days a week I had to be up early or something. But, yeah, but I recently started waking up at 5 a.m. because of this accountability group. And I've gotten so much more done. Like, I don't really know for sure if this podcast would be launched right now if it weren't for that time that I spend in the morning working on it.
I love that idea.
It's incredible. And
that's really early. What time do you go to bed, though?
So I have a really nice evening routine. I try to latest be in bed by 10, 10:30. That's the latest. If I go out at night or something or have something during the week to do at night, then I'll like debate. I mean, I plan accordingly. Like usually I'm not super spontaneous during the week anymore. You know, you kind of just have to change your priorities in the way that you live your life.
And you do that 7 days a week?
No. So in the first month I tried doing weekends and I was like, you know what? No, this isn't happening on weekends because for my, not only my sanity, but like my health and my energy levels, like I need to catch up on that rest and that sleep. Because I actually require a lot of sleep as a human being. Like I think I require more than a lot of other people. My sister tells me I sleep like a college or I sleep like a teenager or a college student or whoever sleeps more is me. And so I need it, but that's why going to bed early is really nice. And I don't have cable, so I don't watch TV. I try not to like put on a movie or anything before bed. So I don't really watch a lot of movies, even though I want to watch more, but I don't know. I just don't find the time for that. And, so I'll read and I'll journal before bed and then I get tired pretty easily and I'll put on my lavender oil. And
how long have you been doing that? 5 a.m.
That actually just started the beginning of the year. So that started January 2019. Oh, nice. And well, it's this accountability group and it started up again. Her first round started like the September prior in 2018. And then she was doing it
again.
Who is
it? Like, what is it?
Yeah, this woman, Jessica. And I met her at a meetup once of one of my idols who was like in New York City. And she was doing a meetup and I was like, I have to go. And she was there. And actually my second podcast with this woman, Melissa Ledger, she was there as well. So I met some really amazing women there, and it was like 16 of us. So it was super intimate. And Jessica Castillo, I think is how you say her name. And she's put, it's like a little webinar. So you have to clock in and 5:10 a.m. you're locked out. So I wake up, I roll out of bed, I log in like a little zombie, and then I go do other things. So like I'll turn on the tea and I'll make a little bit of breakfast, and then I'll do whatever I planned on doing that morning.
So it's interesting concept.
I know. And my idea was like, okay, in the winter, I don't want to go anywhere and do anything too much anyway. So the winter is like the most perfect ideal time to get this podcast up and running. And hopefully by summer, it's second nature and it doesn't take up as much time.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Enough about me though. What are three things still on your bucket list and why?
Oh my gosh. Right off the bat, I need to go to Australia. Need it.
Yes.
I mean, I can list all just touristy things, but I'm not gonna. Because I've never been to Asia at all. None of Asia. Also, I really want to swim with dolphins. That's one of my dreams.
Aw.
I don't know. Are these the answers you were hoping for?
I have no expectations.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, see Asia, see Australia, swim with dolphins.
Nice. Well, you could probably, no, never mind. I don't know.
I can make the dolphins happen sooner than the other two.
Well, as long as you commit, you can make anything happen at any time. It's just a matter of.
Preach.
Yeah.
That's right.
But you have nothing on your bucket list career-wise, maybe, or?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I really
sure.
Had no expectations. I was just curious.
Okay. I definitely, in my career, I want to dance with, I'm going to dance with Cirque du Soleil. I'm going to go on tour with, I want to go on as like a backup dancer for like a rapper or a singer. Ooh. I think that would be so cool to like see the world and, you know, they perform in stadiums. You know what I mean? Like huge arenas. Yeah.
Nice. You're at the next Super Bowl.
I don't know about Super Bowl just because there's so much controversy, but, you know, like something big.
Amazing. Well, I love the concept about how you can talk things into existence like that, or you talk about something as if it is already happening. You know, like this girl, Alex Beaton, she's actually the one who had this meetup, and she's so cool and business-minded, and she's amazing on Instagram and everywhere. I listen to her podcast all the time, and she did this thing, this exercise where she like walked around being like, thank you for all these things that she didn't have yet that she was hoping to attain. So like, I'm so happy for you that you are in Cirque du Soleil and I can't wait to come watch. So
yes.
That's going to be exciting and amazing because I love that shit. That's so cool.
And they have so many nice benefits.
Truth bomb.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it, huh?
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah. Actually, that's an interesting question. Do you get insured by your teaching gigs somehow?
No, that's the thing. So most of them, I'm an independent contractor, and I just have my own insurance.
Wow. What do you go through, if you don't mind me asking? You don't have to share that.
I go through, I think it's Medicare.
Uh-huh.
And I use Blue Cross Blue Shield. But I was on my family's insurance till I was 26.
Yeah.
So now it's like I'm off of that and it's like real. Yeah. I'm in it.
Right. It might be Medicaid.
Maybe it is Medicaid.
Yeah.
I always get those confused.
I know. They're confusing. I think Medicare is always like older adult population. And then I believe Medicaid is like depending on your income. I'm not sure.
Yeah. What are you in?
Well,
what do you have for insurance?
I'm employed full time, so I have Empire. No. What do I have?
I just said that.
Yeah.
It's okay. See, I'm putting you on the spot.
Emblem Health.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which I'm like kind of pissed because I went to the doctor yesterday because I took a sick day because I wasn't feeling very well. And she's like, oh, you owe us $35. And I was like, no, I don't.
For what? And your copay?
Yeah, basically because last year, she's saying I owe it from last year. And I was like, well, I get three, like I chose this plan because I get three free PCP visits, primary care physician visits a year. So, and I went, and I was like, can you see how many times I came here last year? And she said twice. And I was like, okay, so I don't owe you any money. And she was like, well, the insurance company's saying that you owe us $35 and you owe $35 this time. I was like, but this is my first time coming this year. So I'm not paying you.
You have to do all three? Maybe it's like that.
No, that would be ridiculous, I feel. That's, I mean, that's a definite possibility, but I've never heard of anything like that.
You call your insurance.
They're billing. People are going to get in touch with me because I'm just like, I'm not paying you this money. I chose this plan because of, and she even read from on her end, like that exact thing and was like, but this is what you owe. And I was like, I'll pay it when the insurance company proves that I owe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a fun fact. Don't just listen to your doctors, people.
Don't just say pay because they say pay.
Exactly. Yeah, look into it. Know what you know, we have to be a little bit more aware because I think so many people could, not that they're scamming me, but who knows who's wrong here. You know, I could be wrong. Yeah. I'm admitting it. But if it says I get 3 a year and I went twice last year and 2019 just started and this is my first.
I could do math.
Right. Yeah. Lastly, is there anything you wish we spoke about, something I didn't ask, or something intuitive that you'd like to share with us?
Wait, anything that we didn't talk about, like to share?
Or if something intuitive is coming up, some kind of like inspirational or message that you've learned recently, lesson or something. Or something you read or something you heard, if you any kind of audio that you listen to sometimes.
Yes. I really enjoy, I don't know if this is a little corny, but Oprah's Super Soul Conversations on her podcast, and they're also on YouTube. She talks to some really great people and a lot of great authors, and there's at least one thing in every single podcast that you can take away from it and like actually write that down because it was like good and you want to repeat it. So that's a little tip. I mean, it's so easy. It's like I'll listen to that when I'm on, you know, the stupid MTA subway stuck forever. You know, it's a great time passer.
100%. Yeah. Definitely. Cool. Yeah, I love Oprah. Just in every way, shape, and form. She's amazing.
I know. She's on my bucket list. I should have said that, to meet Oprah.
Ooh.
To, like, have dinner with Oprah would be a dream.
Aw, yeah. If you were to choose one person alive, that's who you would choose to have dinner with?
I think so.
That would be really cool.
Oprah or, like, Michelle Obama.
Ooh. Actually, there's a really great, somewhere, there's a conversation between the two of them, which is really great.
Oh, yeah.
You saw that?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah.
They've talked a couple times actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Love Oprah.
Yeah, she's an ENFJ. I brought this up before too.
What's that mean?
You know, Myers-Briggs?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's like ENFJ, I don't even know all the letters except my own.
What does that mean?
It's like extrovert and
cut this part out.
I like the rawness, but the F means feelings, the N, oh my gosh, and the J means,
and that's what Oprah is.
Yeah, we're the same.
What, you're like a giving extrovert introvert? Which one?
Well, I don't know necessarily.
You don't even know what it is.
I know it's a protagonist.
So you're the good guy. Okay.
I'm just Oprah.
Okay, I like that.
I just love Oprah.
And you both have podcasts.
Yeah, see?
Wow.
No, she's a big inspiration of mine. She's just, you could tell she's so real, and in such a an intense industry that she's in, she's made it a point to share that whenever she feels like she's going out of her, of being herself, she like takes back, like, no, this doesn't work for me. This isn't how I'm going to do it. So I love that.
Yeah. She's a true boss.
She is.
She came from nothing, which is why she's so inspiring.
Yeah. All right. Well, Eric, you have been a pleasure to speak with.
Thank you, Allie. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming and joining me on this really long conversation. I've loved every minute of it.
Likewise.
And let's go rock climbing.
Let's do it. We're in the same city.
Right? We're in the same borough.
Yeah, that too.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Allie. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Welp, that is a wrap, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in again. I seriously, sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate your ears. I would also really appreciate some 5-star reviews, if you know what I'm saying. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't even care how many people are listening, but if one of you can walk away with some kind of transformation for your life from this podcast on Well and Why, and you walk away a little more spiritually nutritious, I would love that. And that's why I'm here. That is why I'm here. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for coming back. And if this is your first time, I hope to impose my conversations on your ears again sometime. Thank you again. Ta-ta for now.